Good evening, everybody, and welcome back for episode 3 of The Haunted Collection. I'm your host, Kevin Kane, writer, author, and paranormal investigator. I'm coming to you each week sharing some of my favorite horror and ghost stories. Especially right now, it's October 21st, 2018. We are just over a week away from Halloween. So this is the perfect time of year to break out these spooky, monstrous stories. Today I want to share with you a couple of my favorite fiction horror stories. The first one I like to call, I Want to Hold Your Hand. No, I don't mean the Beatles song. This is something very much different, a lot more sinister. The old Boggs place was big, deserted, and very, very spooky. Like all big, deserted, and spooky-looking houses, this one had the reputation of being haunted. Or if not haunted, at least it had the reputation of being somehow or other evil and dangerous. People went out of their way to avoid it, and certainly no one would ever think of living there. The house had been deserted for years. In fact, no one in town could remember when anyone had actually lived in the Boggs place. No one even knew why it was called the Boggs place. Perhaps people named Boggs had once lived there, but no one seemed to know for sure. If the Boggses once had lived there, they had cleared out a long time ago and had left no relatives behind. No one in town had ever met anyone named Boggs, nor could anyone recall anything specifically horrible that was ever supposed to have happened at the house. Inevitably, there were plenty of rumors. Some said there had been a murder there once, and that the house was haunted by the ghost of the murdered woman, or by the ghost of her murderer, depending on who you asked. Others said that a weird old man had once lived in the house all alone. People didn't see him very often, and one day, when no one had seen him for a very long time, a group of men went up to the house and found the old man hanging from a beam in an upstairs bedroom. The body had been hanging there so long that the flesh had practically rotted away. According to this version, it's the old man's ghost that haunts the house. Others say that it was an old woman who lived up in the house all alone, and that she used to practice some sort of black magic. One night, goes this version of the story, there were terrible screams, shrieks of horror heard coming from the house. People saw a blinding flash of light, and then everything was silent. The next morning, when the sheriff went up to investigate, the house was empty. The only clue to what might have happened to the old woman was a suspicious-looking pile of ashes. In this version of the story, the old woman had been involved in some sort of magical ceremony that went horribly wrong, and she was burned by flames from the underworld. The house, they say, is still troubled by the demons that she let loose that very night. The final version of the tale says that the trouble of the Boggs place began more recently. Long after the house was abandoned by Boggs or any other legitimate owners, this version holds that a homicidal maniac who escaped from a nearby mental institution took up residence in the house, and that he lives there still, making horrible noises and doing strange things in order to frighten away those who might want to disturb his hiding place. No one has ever actually seen anything, be it ghost, demon, or maniac, at the house. They have just heard about others who have seen strange figures. Occasionally, people would report seeing a light in the house. Just reflected sunlight, say the skeptics. Others report hearing strange noises coming from the empty house, or just getting a weird feeling whenever they get near it. Skeptics scoff at such stories, but they don't go near the house either. So the Boggs Place, which stands starkly alone at the top of a hill in the midst of what was once a large lawn, but is now overgrown with waist-high weeds, is rarely troubled by visitors. Still, there are always a few brave or foolhardy souls for whom something like the Boggs Place holds an irresistible, even a fatal, attraction. Such a pair of unsuspecting victims were Chris and Lisa. They weren't local. The locals were scared off long ago. No, these were counselors at a summer camp nearby. They had come up from the city, and they viewed the town with the same sort of amused contempt that most city people showed for it. When they heard about the tales surrounding the Boggs Place, they decided that they were going to go up and explore it. No haunted house was going to scare them. After all, they faced the subway every day. So one evening, late in August, Chris and Lisa could be found making their way through the high weeds up to the front porch of the Boggs Place. It had to be evening, for there was no challenge in visiting a haunted house in the middle of the day. And of course the weather had to be threatening. As luck would have it, a midsummer storm, thunderstorm, was about to break at any moment. What is a haunted house without thunder and lightning, and the wind howling outside? Chris and Lisa got to the front door just as the first few drops of rain began to fall. The door was open. The lock had long ago rusted away. Chris switched on his flashlight, and they began looking around. The house was not completely empty of furniture as they thought it might be. One room contained an easy chair and several old wicker rocking chairs. Everything in the place was covered by a thick layer of dust. When Chris flashed the light around the rooms, Lisa pointed out that in some places the dust seemed to be disturbed, as if by footprints. "Oh, it's just mice," said Chris confidently, "or squirrels." As they worked their way from room to room, a creaking sound was heard coming from one of the upper stories. "That sounds like footsteps," said Lisa, in a hushed and frightened voice. "Oh, it's just mice," said Chris, "or squirrels." But he was no longer as confident, because the noises really did sound like footsteps. "Let's get out of here," said Lisa. "I think we've explored enough." Chris eagerly agreed, and they made their way back through the room with the chairs and toward the front door. The storm had begun in earnest now, and there was a flash of lightning followed by a tremendous clap of thunder. In the flash, both Chris and Lisa saw, or thought they saw, a form standing in the waist-high weeds in front of the house. There was another flash. The form was still out there, but it had moved. "Someone's out there," said Lisa, "or something." "If we can get out in those weeds," said Chris, "whatever it is can sneak right up on us. We'd never know until it was too late. No, I think we'll be safer here in the house until it's light." Spending the night in that house was not a pleasant prospect, but Lisa saw the wisdom of the suggestion. After all, she didn't want to go outside in those tall weeds and face whatever might be out there lurking. So they went back to the room with the chairs. Lisa sat down in the armchair, and Chris pulled one of the wicker rockers over next to it. The flashlight, which had been growing weaker by the minute, finally gave out entirely, and Chris and Lisa sat there in total darkness. "I'm scared," said Lisa.
"So am I," said Chris.
"Hold my hand. Maybe we'll feel better." Chris reached over and grasped Lisa's hand and gave it a squeeze. It made them both feel better, at least for the moment. There was nothing that either one of them could do or say. They just sat there holding hands in the darkness, waiting for morning to come. Lisa could hear Chris rocking back and forth, and every once in a while he gave her hand a little squeeze. Lisa dozed off for a moment, but when she awoke, she was still holding Chris's hand, and she could still hear his rocking chair squeaking. But slowly, she became conscious of the fact that something was different. Something had changed. What was it? It took a while to realize what had happened or not happened. Chris had not squeezed her hand for some time. Perhaps he was asleep. But no, she could still hear the rhythmic squeaking of the rocking chair. She wanted to call out to Chris, but terror had robbed her of her voice. Finally, a smear of grayish light could be seen through the window. It was dawn. As the room in which Lisa sat was illuminated by the growing sunlight, she saw what had happened. She was still holding Chris's hand. Just his hand. The rest of him was hanging from a beam in the ceiling and rocking rhythmically in a chair across the room. Was a huge, wild-looking man dressed in rags and clutching an enormous, bloody knife. Let that be a lesson. Never, ever sneak into an abandoned house. You never know what dangers might await you. You might fall through a floorboard that's gone weak over the years. You might come across some bats or other creepy crawlies, or worse yet, you might find a resident there that's not quite happy that you've trespassed on his property. I hope you enjoyed that story. That's one of my favorite horror stories. But we still have some time left, so being that it's Halloween, not only do you have to have a good horror story, but we simply must have a good ghost story as well. So let me take the rest of this time to share with you a story that comes all the way across the ocean from Turkey. It's a popular story in that country. They call it A Ride for a Corpse. There was a young man who set out on a long trip on horseback. The trip was to take him through country that was unknown to him. The trip turned out to be longer and more difficult than he expected. By the third day, he was already well behind the schedule he had set for himself. Then he was delayed practically the entire day on business. In order to make up for some of the lost time, the young man decided that he would have to ride through the night. He knew a night ride would be difficult, but he was strong and vigorous, and he had ridden all night before, so it would be no sweat. He started out just before sunset. It was almost completely dark when the young man found himself passing a cemetery. There, sitting on a stone by the side of the road, was a girl of about 16 or 17, and she was crying. The young horseman could not pass by so sad and appealing a figure, so he stopped to ask her what was wrong. The girl sobbed out a story of how she had to get to a distant town by the next morning, but she was already so tired that she could not possibly make the trip, particularly at night. The young man, feeling very gallant, offered to take her. "My journey takes me past that very town," he said. "My horse is strong and fresh. He can carry both of us." Tearfully, the girl thanked him. He hoisted her up to the saddle and climbed up behind her so that he could hold her. He grasped the girl firmly by the waist and spurred his horse. The horse galloped off with a surprising burst of speed. They rode through the night. The young man's horse, instead of tiring and slowing down, seemed to go faster and faster. It was almost as if the horse was driven by some unknown but powerful terror. When the young man tried to rein his horse in to slow it down, he was not able to do so. Something even stranger was happening. The girl, riding in front of him, did not say a word, though he tried to talk to her several times. As he clung to the girl, she seemed to grow heavier and harder to hold. At first, the young man thought this was his imagination. Perhaps he was becoming weary, and she just seemed heavy. But as the night wore on, the change in weight became unmistakable. After a few hours, he felt as if his arms would fall off. Yet he couldn't let go, even if he wanted to. As dawn was breaking, the riders reached the town to which the girl had wanted to go. The horse stopped suddenly on its own. It stood frothing and trembling with exhaustion. The young man, too, was trembling, but from fear more than exhaustion. He was able to loosen his grip on the girl, and she tumbled from the horse, sprawling out on the ground. She was a lifeless corpse. A small number of early risers in the village witnessed the scene. They did not seem the least bit surprised. The young man was afraid that they would accuse him of killing the girl. He told them he had no idea what had happened. He said the girl had been alive and well when he picked her up, but somehow she had died during the trip. But the villagers were quick to assure him that he would not be accused of any wrongdoing, for this same thing had been happening for years, they said. They told him a strange story about this girl. She had died 10 years ago, but the family had decided to bury her in a cemetery far from her native village. Every year on the anniversary of her death, she tried to return to her native village in the same way. "Don't worry," they told him. "The girl's relatives would be along shortly to take her corpse back to its distant resting place, at least for another year anyway." The young man continued the rest of his trip, but only did so during the daylight hours. I think I would do the same if I was him. Well, I hope you enjoyed this little collection of stories this week. I hope to be back next week for another couple of spooky, oogly stories to share with you. I hope you enjoyed this because I do enjoy sharing them. Be sure to check out my website, writerkevincain.com, so that you can check out some of my own books that I've written. One of them, The Legends of Indian Narrows, has a collection of ghost stories from my own childhood neighborhood. So be sure to check that out.
as well as the other books and novels I've written with supernatural stories and tales from the dark side. So until next week, I hope you all enjoyed this. I hope you have a good week. And as always, I wish you happy hauntings. Good night, boys and girls.